Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
When we talk about lockdowns and restrictions, the effects that has on non-COVID patients and people who are not directly affected by COVID is actually startling. When we talk about the diagnosis of cancer and the, I suppose, the undefined deaths or the unquantifiable deaths that could be in the future, or the unquantifiable distress that's caused to people in the future because of COVID restrictions. And there was a report in the Irish Daily Mirror today which outlines a distressing story of an Irish family, an 11-year-old daughter. The parents of the child with chronic scoliosis said that she'd be left crippled if she doesn't get the much needed operation. And to join me on the line is her dad, Eric Brennan. Good afternoon to you, Eric.
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
And how's Sophie today?
She's not too bad, Niall. So, look, Sophie's grand every day in the respect that, you know, she's got a very sunny disposition and a great outlook on life. But, you know, we as parents know what's going on literally under our skin, you know.
I want to point out to people that her scoliosis is so bad, and I wouldn't have a great understanding, but you have a better understanding, and I'm sure you'll explain it to me. But because the way her spine is twisted, it's actually pushing into her lungs at this stage and her pelvis as well. And she's waiting patiently for surgery. Now, I know there's 209 children on the waiting list for surgery in, up to August. That's 66% up compared to the 126 the same time last year, and this is because of COVID, Eric.
Well, so they're saying, Niall. So they're saying, but this is going on post COVID. You know, back in 2017, the then Minister for Health, Simon Harris, he said that no child, when they've been placed on the scoliosis waiting list, would be waiting for longer than 4 months. That the aim was to have them all operated within that time frame. Bring it forward to 2020, there's still massive waiting lists. Sophie's been on the wait list since March. It's now 9 months further down the road. She's still waitlisted, and we have no indication as to when she's going to get her surgery. You know, we could be waiting 12 months. One of the last meetings that we had with our consultant, he told us, you know, if he was to take the list chronologically and not an urgency, Sophie would probably be waiting about 4 years. Okay. And myself, my wife, and my family, we're not prepared to wait any longer in Ireland. We're going to make serious changes with this with regards to getting it pushed through, because, you know, It's child abuse. They're basically neglecting.
They're certainly neglecting the health of people. Absolutely. And there's no doubt about that. And to explain to people, by the way, in relation to scoliosis is a medical condition which a person's spine is basically curved. Now, it can happen as a result, by the way, of cerebral palsy or muscular dystrophy or any of those other things that people are born with as well. So somebody can just be born with a curvature of the spine. So there's many different reasons why people would have it, but it can cause massive complications in their lives. And I'm sure, Eric, you could describe some of the complications in Sophie's 11-year-old child in her life.
It can do. So Sophie's scoliosis is a symptom of an overlying condition she has called 22q deletion syndrome. So if you think of your chromosomes, on the 22nd chromosome, Sophie has a tiny microscopic piece missing.
Okay.
And that manifests itself then in a range of different ways. Most obviously with regards to what affects Sophie would be she has a mild general learning disability, and she has scoliosis. And it's, you know, the scoliosis is getting to the stage now where it's taken over everything else in their life, because there's a massive urgency there from ourselves, that we've seen kids who are left in wheelchairs. You know, they become hunched over, they become twisted, and you know, whatever about getting the physical aspects of that fixed, Niall. What's the mental impact on a child? You know, I can't read her mind. I can only talk to her. We can only understand how she feels in that particular day. But what's under the surface there? You know, how is it affecting her mentally? Knowing that she looks a little bit different, she may be hunched over, that she's not able to do what other kids are able to do, and it's just awful.
It is, and it is COVID. I mean, look, there's 844,000 people in this country are waiting on a waiting list of some description for healthcare. There's 612,000 outpatients in Ireland on a waiting list for care. This is according to the National Treatment Purchase Fund. And this is up 45,000 on the figures from last year. So clearly 45,600 people, comparison to this time last year, haven't got treatment or surgery or whatever it is they need. That's clearly, you know, when it comes to COVID-19, there's problems within the healthcare system where, you know, people like your daughter haven't been prioritised because COVID is being prioritised.
Yes, it is being prioritised, but you know, we've had a number of outpatient appointments during COVID. We know now, like after the first lockdown, that there is surgeries happening. that people are doing it. But I just, to be honest with you, I believe COVID is a very real threat and it needs to be treated with such regard. But I also believe that they're using COVID as an excuse to to not do surgeries and to also cover up failures in the health system.
Yeah, and I understand obviously that you yourself would obviously have to take COVID quite seriously because your daughter has an underlying health condition that has to be something that's foremost in your mind as well, so as a family too. And where have you been in contact with the Minister of Health in relation to it? Have you sent them a letter, or where have you got?
We've sent plenty. So just to give you, I suppose, an overview of how this happened. So every year, Sophie has a consultation with an immunologist in Crumlin Hospital because of her 22q. So that can affect the immune system and that. So in 2017, at a routine consultation, she was diagnosed with scoliosis by the doctor Ronan Leakey. So she's been in the system for that long. So that's over. That's going on 4 years now. And we came across Dr. Connor Green in Temple Street. He was going to be the consultant that we went with, and you know, all was good. And then basically lockdown came in March. We had an appointment in March with Dr. Green, and it transpired from her X-rays at that time that basically Sophie's curve had grown by a hell of a lot. It was pushing on 70 degrees. Not 100% sure on how they calculated, but 70 degrees is quite
a lot, actually.
Significant,
quite substantial,
you know,
yeah.
Particularly for a girl who was 10 at the time. But, you know, she's going through puberty now. She's in a rapid growth phase. You know, at 70 degrees now, that could go up to 100.
Of course, because children do most of their growing between kind of 11 and 16 years of age, of course.
Exactly. So it was quite sad. It was one of the evenings during the summer. And Sophie was out playing. Now, look, as I said, she does have a mild general learning disability. If you were to look at her, you know, you wouldn't pick up on it. But other kids can be quite cruel, and they do pick up on these things. So there was one particular evening during the summer where Sophie came in and she was a little bit upset. And myself and the wife kind of said, you know, what's going on? And she said, oh, look, the kids in the road told me to go in because I'm disabled. They wanted to run or whatever. So you can't run, Sophie. So on your toddle, you know, go in.
No, that's awful.
Go in and we'll call for you later on when we're walking. And it was at that point I said to Sam, the wife, I said, you know what, like this isn't good enough anymore. We have to do something. So me being me, I got onto Twitter and I said, look, we've tried with the route in government to contact government ministers. We contacted Simon Harris previously and we got no response. So I said, look, we're going to go towards the opposition. So I tweeted Chris Andrews, who's been a phenomenal support to us, and Mary Lou MacDonald. So since July, Niall, Chris Andrews has raised this on three separate occasions in the Dáil.
Okay.
Micheál Martin vowed to personally look into the case. Leo Varadkar also said he'd personally look into it. And Minister Donnelly then himself has done nothing but send us back standard stock response. And when we got in touch with Minister Donnelly directly, he actually didn't even do anything. He forwarded the email on to Anne Rabbitt, who's the Minister for Disabilities, which we thought was a little bit...
And how did you get on with Anne Rabbitt? So did she do anything
for you? We're still waiting, Niall.
Okay.
She must be hiding somewhere because we've tried to reach out to her and we haven't had any...
And what, just out of curiosity, Eric, just my own personal, what's the surgery involved? I mean, somebody mentions here in a text, I was fortunate enough to get spinal fusion surgery 5 years ago when I was 16. I know exactly the pain that Sophie is in because I lived with it, sending lots of love. Okay, so is that spinal fusion, is there something similar, or do they straighten your spine?
It would be. So what Sophie needs, Niall, she actually needs two surgeries. She needs spinal surgery and she also needs a second surgery on her knee. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But with regards to the spinal surgery, given the nature of the curve, so if you can imagine the letter S, that's basically what Sophie's spine looks like. So to rectify that, she needs what they call an anterior and a posterior fusion. So she's basically going to be fused from her front and her back. The front, they're going to fuse the pelvis and the spine together, which will give her some range of flexibility and motion. And then the second part of that operation will be to fuse her the back, so we'll be going basically from your neck down to the bone.
Okay.
And that will be going to metal rod.
Okay, so when all this is finished, and hopefully they straighten the spine out, I am assuming not 100%, but somewhat. Is she still restricted in her movement? Obviously, she will be still restricted because she'll have spinal fusion.
She will be restricted with movement, and she will be restricted with flexibility and that. But look, no, that's the price you pay with regards to surgery. You know, it's better than having your lungs being crushed and you're unable to breathe.
Absolutely,
when you're 20 or 30 years of age, you know. We've weighed this up. You know, my wife, when she was in one of the appointments with Dr. Green, she asked him, you know, what are the options here? And he said, well, option one is to not operate, and, you know, you're automatically looking to probably cut Sophie's life expectancy in half. Option two would be to do a normal fusion of the spine, just going in at the back. And then, you know, she's probably going to be looking at surgery in 20 years. So this is the option that we've gone for.
Because doing it now, I'm trying to put this in my own head. When you're doing it now, the spine grows and is still going to grow. So obviously more has to be done in the future, obviously. Yeah.
No, this should address it because basically when they fuse it, that will be your growing finished. So she won't grow again. Now look, we don't know what's to come in the future, but she shouldn't need any surgery when this is done. But look, in the doctor's own words, what he said, Noel, was, he said, this isn't cosmetic, this is life-saving.
Of course
that
it is.
They were his words.
You know, and I can understand that. Actually, do me a favour, stay there, because maybe Terry will give you some hope here, because Terry, you've been listening to that. And the same thing happened to your family 11 years ago when it was your baby's heart surgery. What happened, Terry?
Well, my daughter was born with Down syndrome. I've been on to you before about Rebecca, and she had what's called, she needed a complete AVSD, which is basically open heart surgery, and it just kept getting cancelled and cancelled and cancelled. There's no ICU beds, no room in the ward because of underfunding in the health service, which is obviously still going on.
Yeah.
Now, a worker in the hospital told us to take our story to the newspapers and see if that does anything, and which we did. And the next appointment for Rebecca was not cancelled. The appointment after, it was highlighted in the newspapers. So
in other words, going on to the media certainly helped put a little bit of pressure.
The media kind of embarrasses them into not cancelling your appointment.
Well, look, maybe Eric, if you're listening, that could help, because of course I know you're in the Daily Star today. The story's in the Daily Star today, and obviously you're on the radio now talking about it as well. So it may help to put a little bit of pressure. You got to do what you got to do, I suppose, is the point you're making, Terry.
You have to do what's right for your own family.
Yeah, because in that particular case, in your case, again, that was life-saving as well, so you can understand Eric's frustration.
Yes.
Eric, that gives you a little bit of ray of hope, doesn't it? That once the pressure is on, I suppose from the media point of view, it may help to get that, you know, that appointment that she needs.
Well, that's what we're hoping on, you know. And this came about from Friday when my wife and Sophie were in on an appointment, and the surgeon himself wasn't actually there. One of his understudies was there at the appointment, and finishing up, he was like, yeah, look, we were looking at the x-rays, the curvature has increased. It's increased at the bottom towards the pelvis quite significantly. And essentially it was, see you later, go home, enjoy the weekend, and we see you back in 6 months. And my wife just said, no way. You know, we're waiting on surgery now over 9 months. How are you telling us to come back in 6 months? Does that mean that there's going to be no surgery between now and next May or June? You know, it's not acceptable. So
no.
My wife did put a tweet up over the weekend. It's kind of gone a little bit viral, and it was off the back of that. Then we got contacted by some journalists and people who want to help. And that's where
I think Terry actually saw Terry, you saw his tweet over the weekend, Eric's tweet over the weekend.
I did see his tweet over the weekend. Mutual friends retweeted it, so that's how I see Eric's tweet. And we have been direct messaging each other, so...
Yeah. And how are your babies now, by the way? 11 years later.
She's flying now. She's flying cellular now, sure.
Okay, well, see that. Well, there you go. Eric, light at the end of the tunnel, I hope. I do believe that it will come about and it will happen. I mean, Sophie will get what she needs eventually. Unfortunately, there's a lot of underfunding going on as well, mind you, on top of COVID as well. I mean, Terry, I know you believe it's maybe not necessarily COVID, but we can clearly see the waiting list has grown by 45,000 people in the last year. So, I mean, so obviously things are being cancelled because of COVID.
Yeah, they are being cancelled because of COVID, but now they're hiding behind COVID as well, I think. There's no reason to cancel everything.
No, I mean, I would completely agree with you, because the idea of, you know, having a sterile environment is something that they do daily in a hospital and a theatre anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't see the reason for it. Listen, Eric, I hope Sophie gets what she needs. Thank you for that, Terry. Eric, I hope Sophie gets what she needs, and I hope she gets her appointment, or should I say her surgery, very soon, because, as you rightly point out, I mean, at this stage, it is neglect. It's gone on too long, and it is life-saving.
It is, no, it is. And, you know, you have to ask the question, you know, how bad do they want the child to get before they take action? You know, do they want these kids to become crippled? Or do they want us to up sticks and go somewhere else where we can get the surgery done? The issue that they've been telling us is, you know, HSE aren't giving them enough beds. And they don't have enough theatre days. Then when they do have theatre days, there's only 9 ICU beds in Temple Street. If them beds are all taken up, then again, you know, you can't get the child in for surgery. And it's inexcusable. You know, we're in 2020, Niall. Ireland is supposed to be a first world country, and we've a third world health service.
Absolutely.
And it's not acceptable. We can't go private. There's no private option available. If there was, you know, we would have had it done already.
All right. And by the way, how does Sophie feel about the surgery? Is she worried about it, do you think, or is she all right about it?
She is worried. And, like, you know, the type of child she is, she would suffer with anxiety and that, and she would get worried. But I think Sophie's at the stage now where she's also ready to go and get it done and get some sort of a childhood. She's 11, Niall. You know,
she's a good understanding
tomorrow,
of what's going on. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, to an extent. And you know, if the surgery was to be done tomorrow, you know, you're probably going to write the next 12 months off. That brings her up to the age of 13. You know, how much of a childhood has she got left? You know, she's going to be grown up before you know it. And them years are gone, and you don't get them back. And, you know, the beauty of it is, like, Sophie moved from mainstream education into special education in September just gone. And the difference in herself is just night and day. You know, she's a phenomenal kid, but she's getting up every morning. She's going to school with a smile on her face. She has amazing friends. And she's been treated as an equal now, whereas when she was in mainstream school, we didn't feel that was happening.
How long is the recovery period, Eric, after the operation?
It's going to go in phases. So initially, you know, you're going to have maybe a 3-month period where you'll have intense physio. You're getting used to walking again. Your nerves are all starting to get sensation and feeling back, and then as you go further down the road, you can start taking part in more physical and strenuous activity and that. Sophie loves dancing. She absolutely loves to dance, and I'm sure you know all about TikTok and all the latest crazes and that, but she loves that. You know, but that's probably 12 months down the road post surgery. So again, you know, her fear now is probably, will TikTok be gone by the time I have the operation and I can dance properly again? So time is of the essence of her. Look, she deserves a childhood, and she needs to be fixed. It's just not fair to leave kids like that. You know, if it was me or you that needed surgery and they said you have to pay for yourself, we come up with the money. Kids can't deal with themselves.
Of course.
They need support, and the state do need to pull the finger out, I suppose, and give us the support that we need, because it's just inexcusable.
Well, look, I'm happy to highlight it for you today, Eric, and I hope Sophie gets what she needs, and I hope her operation comes soon, and she has a wonderful life ahead of her. I hope so.
And thanks very much. And just a quick shout out to Claire Cahill from the Scoliosis Advocacy Group on Facebook, and also Anne Lawler, who runs the 22Q Ireland Support Group. They've given us phenomenal support, phenomenal advice over the years. And to be honest with you, without them, we'd probably still be sitting at home scratching our heads, wondering what we can do next, or how we go about getting the support. So it's just, look, this is only the beginning, I suppose. Look, we are going to keep fighting. It's probably a terrible thing to say. You have to shame the government into maybe making a decision, or maybe, you know, getting the noisy people dealt with. But I just think in this day and age, you have to do it, because we've sat there silently for too long and it's not changing anything. So this is what we have to do.
All right, listen, Eric, you certainly gave a good shout out there today. Listen, and I hope it gets some wheels turning anyway. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Eric Brennan, talking about his daughter, Sophie, who's 11 years of age with scoliosis and needs that life-saving operation. And he believes at this stage it's just neglect